51:11. Psalm 51:11. It says, and I quote, "Cast me away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." One of the differences between Saul and David was the premium, the high premium that David placed on the person and work and power of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, if we will be blessed, if we will have our blessings manifest for us, if we will see the evidence of the blessings, because every child of God is blessed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So you are blessed. I am blessed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But you see, there is a difference between being blessed and having the evidence of the blessing. We are blessed. All of us in Christ Jesus are blessed. But not all of us enjoy the evidence, the proof of the blessing. So if we are to enjoy the proofs, the evidences, the manifestations, the tangibility of his blessings, we must understand the work of the Holy Spirit. When Saul, the first king of Israel, sinned against God, Samuel was walking out on him, and he held on to Samuel, said, "Please don't walk away from me. Please come. Honor me this one more time before the people. Don't walk away. If you walk away from me, the people will know that something is wrong, and they will also rebel against me. Please don't go. Honor me this one more time." And Samuel stood to honor him. But that Samuel stood did not mean God stood. He was more interested in his honor as a king. He was more interested in his throne. He was more interested in the opinion of people about him. He didn't bother to think that he had disobeyed God once and twice. He didn't bother to think what God thought of him. He was more interested in what the people thought of him. And the Bible says, "He who honors me, I will honor. But he who despises me shall be lightly esteemed." Saul dishonored God, and he was lightly esteemed. But when David sinned against God in the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah, whilst he made this prayer to God, one of the things he said to God, "Cast me not away from your presence." Don't cast me away from your presence. If you cast me away from your presence, I have no more covering. If you cast me away from your presence, I am exposed to the arrows, to the dangers, to the risks, to the attacks of the enemy. And ladies and gentlemen, you do not know how powerful the enemy is until God is not with you. Ask Samson. Ask Saul. When God left and the enemy had free access to these men and began to torment them and began to make sport of their lives, they knew how powerful the devil was. Don't cast me away from your presence. And then, take not away your Holy Spirit from me. He did not say, take not away your throne. He did not say, take not away the crown. No, take not away your Holy Spirit from me. Why? Whatever it is that I may have lost by reason of this judgment that is coming to me on account of my sin, whatever it is that I may have lost, I may have lost the honor of man. I may have lost my throne. I may have lost the respect of man. But if I do not lose the Holy Spirit, whatever it is I may have lost, I will gain them back. The Holy Spirit is the one who transfers from the throne room your blessing into your destiny. And let me say here, this is not a theological statement, okay? But there are three major dispensations. You know, in theology, we have been taught there are seven dispensations. I know that. I'm also a theological student. But as it has to do with this discourse, there are three major dispensations. There is the first, the dispensation of the Father. Somebody said the dispensation of the Father. Say it if you heard me. The dispensation of the Father. That dispensation is also called God for us dispensation. The second dispensation is called the dispensation of the Son. Say it. That dispensation is also called God with us dispensation. But ladies and gentlemen, we are in the last dispensation. It is called the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And it is also called God in us dispensation. Now, every time God moves men from one dispensation to another, as you enter into another dispensation, the glory of that dispensation often surpassed the glory of the former. When God was for them, God the Father dispensation, all the miracles of the Old Testament were wrought during the time of that dispensation. And ladies and gentlemen, it was glorious. That was where they saw the Red Sea parting. They saw River Jordan driven back. They ate manna for 40 years in the wilderness. They clothed the wall for 40 years, did not tear. As they grew, it grew with them. Because the image of the heavenly was with them. That's the dispensation of the Father. It was glorious. Are you listening to me? It was awesome. It was powerful. The bread and the Son stood still. That was the dispensation of the Father. When the bread and God rained down hailstone upon their enemy, it was the dispensation of the Father. But as glorious as that was, they hadn't seen anything yet. And then they went to the dispensation of God the Son. And then what they had not seen before began to happen. Because they asked, that man that was born blind asked them, he said, since the beginning of the world, did you ever hear that God opened the eyes of the man who was born blind? Jesus began to do for them what they hadn't seen or what they did not see in the first dispensation. And one day they were in the midst of the sea, trouble tossed to and fro by the wind. And then they saw somebody walking on the sea. No, we haven't seen this before. Because when Joshua and the others walked through the sea parted and they walked on it. Are you listening to me? But this one, the sea did not part. He was walking on it. Are you listening to me? And then he said, I am the one. Peter said, you are the one. Let me come. He said, come. Who says you can't do it? And the man too walked. He sank, but he walked. He sank, but he walked. Are you listening? You see, if you are afraid of sinking, you will not walk. He sank, but he walked. And then they heard that somebody died. You know, Jesus was a specialist at raising the dead. He just said, somebody has died. He said, let us go. May God give me that kind of anointing. Yeah. You know, Alagwasa, I lost somebody yesterday. A dear pastor friend. He was just 39. He was 39 in February. He did his 10th marriage anniversary in February.
And I thought, hey, I wish I had this anointing to just go to the mortuary and say, hey, come here, come. And the boy will just wake up and follow me. And then all the people, all the unbelieving believers will run away because they have seen something they had not seen before. I'm still praying for that anointing. That's the only miracle I have not seen. I'm still praying for that. But he just said, somebody just died. He said, let us go. They said, but they had buried him. He said, it doesn't matter. Let us go. You have you forgotten? This is the second dispensation. But when he was about to go, he said to them, he that believes in me, akadusha hikaba, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these. Why? Because I go to the Father. As I go to the Father, the third dispensation will be ushered in. It is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. You think you have seen miracles in this dispensation? No. When you enter the third dispensation of the Holy Ghost, you will see what you have not seen before. Because all the miracles that Jesus did, can I say something? All the miracles he did when he brought Lazarus back to life and all that, he did not do as God. He did as man. Are you still here? Because don't forget, he emptied himself of his deity. No, of his glory as God. He was God, yes. But he chose not to operate as God. And that was why he needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost to do those things. There are four miracles. I call them the greatest miracles of all times that the Holy Ghost accomplished. Briefly, I will tell you them and then we'll pray. The first is the miracle of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. In the beginning, God, that word God, is the Hebrew word Elohim. Literally, it means gods. That also suggests that the first time God introduced himself to man, he showed up as a twin God in the Trinity. So those people who teach that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is not scriptural, I don't know how they read their own Bible. Are you listening to me? In the beginning, God, Elohim, gods, created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, tohu, and void, bohu. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, waiting for the word. The moment the word came forth, let the, in fact, the another translation says, and the Spirit of God hovered and incubated over the face of the deep. Just like a hen incubates the egg, waiting for Hashem. Let there be light. The Holy Ghost, the agent of creation, brought it to be. Everything you see and the ones you do not see was brought to pass by the person of the Holy Ghost. Even man. In Job chapter 33, verse 4. Even man. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. When God made Adam, without the breath of God, Adam was not human. But the Bible says God breathed into man. Ruach. The breath of God. That was the extension of God into man. That was how man became the image of God. Some people think man is the image of God because he has face. God has face. He has nose. God has nose. He has two ears. God has two ears. No. It is a spirit consciousness in man that makes man the image of God. Creation. What is your problem? What is your challenge? What is your issue? Look at creation. I don't even know how many planets we have now. They keep confusing us. They keep discovering. No problem. Can I tell you something? There are so many things God created that human beings have not discovered. Yes. If they came to be by the person of the Holy Spirit. Oga, what is your issue? What is your need? What is it that you believe God for? If the Holy Spirit brought these things to be, he will bring yours to pass. Yeah. Number two miracle. Greatest miracle of all time is a miracle of the incarnation. One pretty virgin girl was sitting in her house when an angel appeared to her. I said, "Hey, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Some people have turned it to prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of the womb, Mary. Mother of God, pray for us. God has no mother. Did you hear me? The man Jesus had a mother. But the God Jesus did not have a mother. You see, we must learn to separate this thing. That Jesus was 100% man and is 100% God. Are you still here? Are you angry with me? Please don't be. You are going to conceive and you are going to have a son. You will call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sin. He will rule upon the throne of his father David. Ah! Of his kingdom, the government of his kingdom, there shall be no end. So sweet to be true. And Mary asked him, "Mr. Gabriel, I am a virgin." The Hebrew word for virgin is Alma. Now, Alma means a young lady. It could be a young or married lady. It could be a young married lady. So when the Hebrew word, when the Old Testament was translated into Greek, what we call Septuagint, the word Alma was translated into Parthenos. Parthenos means a young or married virgin girl. I am a virgin. How can this thing be? I have not slept with a man. What did he say? Luke chapter 1. He said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you." I see that happening here this morning. "And that which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. For with God nothing shall be impossible." That miracle of incarnation, a woman who knew no man became pregnant. That miracle was brought to pass by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, it was because of that miracle, by reason of that miracle, that Jesus was qualified to be our Savior. Are you listening to me? Because if he had born through the instrumentality of man, he would have also been a sinner. Because he was the son of Adam, he would have been a sinner. That's why God is all wise. He spoke to the serpent. He said, "The seed of the woman, not the seed of the man." You don't, when you talk about women, you don't talk about seed. Seed belongs to men. But God knew that this seed will not come through a man, it will come through the Holy Ghost. Somebody is about to receive a miracle here. In the name of Jesus. The third miracle. Let scientists clone all they like. They can't replicate that miracle. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Let them clone all they like. See all the things they do. You see, man cannot be God. I have no problem with IVR. What is it called? Those things they go to India when a woman is not. What is it called? I have no IVF. Sorry, forgive me. I have no problem with it. But see, most of the children I have seen that don't. You see, man is only trying to help man. Are you listening to me? And there is nothing wrong with it. But what God doeth, what God does, is perfect.
One of my pastor friend and his wife, she spent close to 2 years in India. They did it 3 times. It failed. I called them. I said, okay, you never do. He said, we need pick. I said, go and adopt. There are children everywhere. Go and adopt now. What is it? He said, you don't understand. I said, I couldn't understand. I have children of my own. I couldn't understand. But you don't do. I know work. Leave them now. God's time is the best. After I've heard amazing testimonies when I listen to what's your TV program again? Those I had amazing testimonies. Somebody's been married for 30 years, 35 years. I've heard it. You never reach 10 years, so relax. When you reach 10 years, you will begin to count. After Abraham said, past 25. I'm not making light of it, but I'm saying, if you don't relax, let God do it. I was talking to a lady. I said, God will do it. Every time you say, God will do it, God will do it. I said, do you want me to say Satan will do it? Yes. Satan cannot do it. I said, God will do it. Yes. God will do it. Yes. Now, the third one is the miracle of the resurrection. If the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, that same spirit. When the soldiers were there guarding the tomb, they didn't know what was about to come. They were not prepared. Suddenly there was an earthquake. Where did the earthquake come from? You know what happens when the Holy Ghost moves? When he moved like a mighty rushing wind, he brought the boss back to life. Nobody has been able to replicate it. We have seen the miracle of bringing people back to life, but they don't live forever. As a matter of fact, apart from the one of Lazarus, I have not heard that somebody, they buried somebody, after they buried him, they brought him back to life. I have not heard. Jesus, 3 days in the belly of the earth, came back to life by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are not even dead. And you are wondering, is my case possible? It is possible.
Amen.
And finally, the miracle of the regeneration. Do you know what that means? That once I was a sinner, now I am a saint. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Are you listening to me? When Kenneth Hagin gave his life, after he gave his life to Christ, he began to tell people that he was born again. He was a new creation. And some people accosted him and said, "You, were you not the one who stole from us the other time and did those terrible things?" And Kenneth said, "No. The person who did it died some time ago. I'm a new man." They say, "You are lying." No, you see, but that is the mystery of the gospel. That he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Let me read it and then we'll pray. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He saved us. Good news translation. It was not because of any good deeds that we ourselves had done, but because of his own mercy that he saved us through the Holy Ghost, who gives us new birth and new life by washing us. How many of you are saved in this house? It was the Holy Ghost that made you a new creation. These four miracles are the greatest miracles of all time. And the Holy Ghost did them without consulting you. What is your challenge? Oh, I am battling with fibroid. Don't worry, it will die this morning.
Amen.
I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
Oh, I am battling with this disease, this affliction.
Don't worry, it will die. Because when the fire of God's anointing comes upon you, that issue will melt as wax melts before fire. In the name of Jesus. Rise to your feet. Is that how you're standing? You are tired. You are going to pray just one prayer. But before we pray that prayer, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in this house and you are not yet born again, because the privilege of the works of the Holy Spirit is reserved primarily for those who are saved. For those who are saved. For those who are saved. He said you have a yoke upon you. The Bible says that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That anointing is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But if you are in this house and you are not saved, you are not born again. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, I beseech you, I beg you, I beg you, don't live here without salvation. If you are here, you are not saved. Please, I beg you, lift your hands and I will lead you to Christ. He's the only one who is qualified to save us. From the guttermost to the uppermost. I beg you. I beg you. When I heard of the news of the death of my friend yesterday, I didn't know when a tear dropped from my eyes. But then it dawned on me that every day people die. Our lady was talking about all the deaths. Those are the ones we hear of. There are hundreds of thousands of deaths we do not hear of. As I'm talking to you now, somebody has died somewhere. Can I say something to you? Some people say, it is good if I want to die, let me die in the church. That does not mean you will go to heaven. In fact, that the church came and pray over you and say, R.O.I.P., rest in peace, does not mean you actually rest in peace. It could be reserved in punishment. I tell you the truth. I've seen a lot of hypocrisy in the church. A lot of hypocrisy in the church. Somebody is preaching fire and brimstone in the morning. In the afternoon, he's sleeping about with his church members. The foundation of God stands sure. Having this seed, God knows them that are his. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That's what the Bible says. Are there many that are being saved? He said that is not the question. The issue is that you strive to enter. That is a striving. Whether we like it or not, that is a striving. I beg you. I beg you. I beg you. 2 years ago, I buried my daughter. 24 years. Married May 12th, 2012. Died August 19th. 2012. 3 months, 1 week, she was married. I wept and wept and wept and wept and wept and wept. I had no more strength to weep. Life continued. When this young man died yesterday, somebody turned to me and said, but why should he die? He has not finished his work. And I asked him, how do you know? What determines whether a man has finished his work or not? Is he age? It's not age. Our guy is not age. It's not age. If Jesus tarries in his coming, if in the next 100 years Jesus does not come, the chances that all of us here will be dead. And we will never all die once. We will not all die at the same time. We will die one after another. That's the truth. And who says it is the old before the young? Sometimes it is young before the old. Then the old before the young. Then the young before the old. I beg you in the name of Jesus, if you are in this house and you are not born again, your tomorrow is not guaranteed. Raise your hand and I will lead you to Christ to save you. Before we pray, God can open your blind eyes. But that will not mean that you will not go to heaven, that you will not go to hell if you're a sinner. Anyone in this house? All right. Congratulations that we are all saved. May we all meet in heaven someday. In Jesus' name. Are you ready to pray one prayer? One prayer. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready? It's just one prayer. And as we begin to pray the prayer, miracles will be happening. He said the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. For Mary's case, it was for conception. I don't know your case. Holy Ghost, come upon me. Let your power overshadow me. For this miracle, for fruitfulness, for healing, for open door, for favor, for breakthrough at my place of work. For what God cannot do, no man can do it, and yet there is nothing God cannot do. Somebody say, Holy Ghost! Say, Holy Ghost! In the name of Jesus, let your power come upon me. Let your anointing come upon me and produce the much needed miracle. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Is that how you are praying? Is that how you are praying? Is that how you are praying? Holy Ghost, let your power come upon your people. That resurrection power, that power that terminates evil, let it come upon the people of God now. Let diseases be terminated. Let sicknesses be terminated. Yes, Lord. Let misfortune be terminated from the lives of the people. Let the evil of disaster be terminated. Kapotoshita. Let the evil of rejection be terminated from the people of God. Holy Ghost, let your power come down. Your destiny is crazy.
crying to God. Your destiny is crying to God. Let God look upon your destiny and add fire to your destiny, add power to your destiny, so that your destiny will move on in life. The papa pashita, braka buska, breke braka ske braka tap, papa 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 papa, ya braka koske, braka toshika tap braka tap, breke breke braka takapo, zoke breke breke braka tap, ya papa papa, priaka to priaka tap, braka braka toska, braka toshita, papa papa papa, braka tap braka toske, ya papa papa paika, ya papa papa toske, braka braka tap toske, lipoto shika ta, yeah, ya papa.
Your two hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.
The power of the Holy Ghost is moving in this one already. There is a move of the Spirit in this house. There is a move of the Spirit. There is a move of the Spirit. Holy Ghost! If you are an usher in the congregation, wave your hand if you are an usher. Now stand, move into the congregation and help the people, because the power of God is about to rock here. Holy Ghost! You are the agent of miracle. Holy Ghost, you are the power of the highest. Holy Ghost, what man cannot do, you can do. Holy Ghost, you are the yoke breaker. Holy Ghost, you are the baby remover. Holy Ghost,
was
don't respond. I am the one praying. Just concentrate. The power of God is moving here. Lord, Holy Ghost, I command deaf ears to be unstopped. I command deaf tongue to loose and drop. In the name of Jesus, I command infirmities, diseases, sicknesses to dry up. Thou power of God, thou power of the highest.
Life in this service, in my vision right now, I have several traveling passports that were closed that have become opened. Listen, one or two of these passports are not Nigerian passports. They are from another nationality, another country, another nation. If you are in this house, you have an application at any embassy, or you're about to apply for any visa, run to this front. Quickly, run. You have an application at any embassy, or you're about to apply, run. As you come, can you just kneel down and touch the altar? Kneel down, touch the altar. I see a young